This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome back to the Mr. D Math and More podcast series. This week, we're going to look at what to do when your child is stuck on a math skill. Probably everybody listening to this podcast has encountered this at least once, either for yourself in your own learning development or when you've been homeschooling your young people and your young person has just gotten stuck on a math skill and you just don't know what to do. Do you move on? Do you stay there? Do you make them do it again? Do they keep going until they get it? What do you do? What we're going to look at in this podcast is I'm going to share with you things that we do with our own children at home, as well as the way that I've written my own math courses and how I found students to be successful even when they get stuck. Have your young people, they've ever been stuck on adding or multiplying, they were doing long division, they just didn't get it, or if they were working in their first pre-algebra or Algebra 1 course and they were solving equations and the multi-steps and when do you add and when do you subtract or multiply or divide and how do you know when to do what? Or they're working with fractions and common denominators and why do you need a common denominator when you're adding fractions but you don't when you're multiplying and so on and so on. Maybe it was geometry, a whole different thought process when it comes to mathematics. So no matter what kind of learner you have at home, likely they're going to encounter something where they get stuck along the way. What we want to do is work with what do you do and how do you know when it's time to move on? You know, a lot of times students are working on something and they can do most of it, not all of it, but most of it, and they do it well. But there's this one little part that they just can't get. Maybe it's working with their times tables. They've got their twos and the threes and the fours and the fives and the sixes, but the sevens, oh man, the sevens are just not happening. The eights are okay, the nines are great, the tens, perfect, but the sevens for some reason just aren't happening. Happened with our own daughter last year. She was working on her sevens and that was the one she just couldn't remember. And she sings songs so she can remember them using a song. It's a great way to learn your times tables. She was skip counting using sevens, using a song. She had everything else done but the sevens. And for some reason, that one just wasn't working. She knew most of them, but not all of them. She could get through it, but she needed a little bit of extra help to go through that. With my son last year, it was working with fractions. No matter what, he'd get through it, he'd see it, and one day he'd have it, the next day not. The next day he'd have it, the next day not. So we were looking at, well, how do we deal with that? With my algebra students and my pre-algebra students, my algebra 2 students, my pre-calculus students. Sometimes it's working with equations. Sometimes it's remembering what formula to use when. Or once you have a formula, what do you do with it? A lot of times younger students, when they're first starting their pre-algebra journey, they get stuck with positive and negative numbers. How do you know when to add the numbers? How do you know when to subtract the numbers? How do you know when it's going to be positive? How do you know when it's going to be negative? They get stuck on a math skill. Let's go through and look at a couple of ways that you can actually work with your young person when they're stuck. And a lot of times people think that, well, if they're stuck, you just can't move on. Well, here's the great thing about math. When they're stuck, once you move on, whatever they were stuck on is probably going to get unstuck later on. Now, that sounds a little wordy, doesn't it? But I'll tell you a little more about that as we're going. So if you find that they're stuck, don't worry. It's all right because they're going to see it again later on. So let's talk a little bit about what it's like to be stuck first of all. Typically, when someone is stuck on something, let's say they're stuck on long division and they just can't get about how to figure out how many times something goes into something and finding the remainder and what's left over and when do you subtract and all those different things that come along with long division. Well, here's what I find with almost all of my math students. When they're stuck on a particular topic, the new topic, the new material isn't actually what they're stuck on. They're stuck on something from before. So maybe take a step back. Maybe look back at something they already have had success with just to make sure. If it's working with long division, maybe look back and check how they're doing their times tables. Maybe look back and look and see how their subtraction is. Look at the parts of long division and make sure all the pieces are in place before actually tackling that new concept. It's a great way to look and see, and I find that more often than not, that when students are stuck on something, it's not currently what they're stuck on, it's just a piece wasn't fitting in the way it needed to fit in before. Maybe they need to review their times tables or review subtraction or see the things that were happening in long division. Let's check it out here. I'm going to give you a couple of strategies that I think are really great, will work very quickly for you, and are very easy to do, and students will flourish and go quickly through this. And then they also don't feel stuck because you can move on. Let's check this out. The first thing, if they're stuck on something, let's say with my daughter, she was stuck on her sevens times tables, but they know some of the other ones. So here's what we would do with her. Tell us the ones you know. And then she would start with the twos, which were very easy. And we knew that she knew the twos because she had them memorized. But then we got to one that she didn't know as well, like the threes and the fours. And she would tell us about the threes, and she'd tell us about the song, and she'd tell us about the relationship between the threes and how she was just adding by three, adding by three, adding by three. We said, okay, great. So we had her teach us about one that she did know. So once she could teach us about the one that she did know, she could apply the same idea from what she did know to what she didn't know. Now here's the amazing thing. We got through the year. She moved from grade 3 to grade 4. And then as she was a fourth grader, here's what we found out. She took the summer off, did her summer things, summer activities. When it came back to starting the times tables again, the sevens were something she knew perfectly. Now how did that happen? Well, sometimes just having a little break, a little bit of time in between makes a huge difference. It lets it sink into that long-term memory base for young people. It definitely did that for our daughter. But we thought, oh my goodness, she's going to know all of these, but she can't get the sevens, and then the sevens were just there. How did it happen? Because she could go back and work with what she did know to get her to what she didn't know, and she took a little time, and it actually settled in and got into that long-term memory. You know, maybe they can add 3 plus 8, but they can't add 13 plus 28. But if they can add 3 plus 8 and tell you how they did that, then they can show you how to do 13 plus 28. Let's look at an algebra problem. Let's say we had x plus 5 equals 11. And you say, hey, well, you can tell me that. They say, yeah, absolutely. What do you have to add to 5 to get to 11? And they say, yeah, okay, great. Oh, I know I would have to add 6. Okay, well, how did you come up with that 6? Let's say, well, I could just count up, and you could actually come to a point where they say, oh, you have to subtract. 11 minus 5 is 6. But they're having trouble with 2x plus 5 equals 11. Well, guess what? It's the same problem with one little extra step. X plus 5 equals 11, and you say, oh yeah, I just needed to count up 6 more to get to 11, or 11 minus 5, which is 6. Well, now you have 2x plus 5 equals 11. So what now you're saying is, you're saying, okay, well, I'm still adding what to 5 to get to 11? You say, well, I'm still adding 6. Okay, great. Well, you're adding 6, but this time, there's something that you have to multiply the number by 2 that makes that 6, so you can add 5 to it to get to 11. Now, some of you are going like, right now, thinking, oh my goodness, that actually makes sense to me. I could tell. If I times 2 by 3, I'll get 6. Then if I add 5 in the 6, I'll get 11. Now, how do you go through and do the steps? And then the students start to understand about the steps. Oh, because in algebra, it's always inverse operations. Well, if I multiplied by 3, if I added by 5, if I do the inverse operations, subtract by 5, and divide by that number 2, I get back to the same 3, just like I was doing, as I was saying. Now, that's a little bit more difficult to hear as you're just listening, but the steps are the same. Have them teach you something they know so they can get to something they don't know. There's a whole other strategy I want to share with you which really works, which is something that I've incorporated into all my own courses, so I'll share that with you. But first, we're going to take a quick break right now and go back to our sponsor this week, which is HereToHelpLearning.com. Beth and Forrest Mora. They're amazing people. They've created the Here to Help Learning writing program, and you can find them on their website as well as at most homeschool conventions around the U.S. HereToHelpLearning.com is all the words, no spaces in between, HereToHelpLearning.com. Let me tell you just a moment about their process. When they're working with their students, what they do is they actually model for the students what's happening. What they've done is they've actually done some research, and they found that 65% of the population are visual learners. That's more than half. So they give a big picture. The visual learners have to have that big picture or the roadmap imprinted in their mind so they can see where they're headed. So then they model the skill for the student. They can see what's happening. They can see how it's doing. And you'll see Beth is modeling it with a young person. She's actually doing the work with someone right in her videos. By the way, when they have their videos use the best costumes and they have the best scripted drama that you will have that comes along with their videos. It's so great to watch and see what they're having. They provide pictures and diagrams, flowcharts for young people to see as well. If you're a visual learner, you can see that too. They engage all of the senses. So by working with and playing with and the drama that's into their lessons, they're going to see that all of the learning styles are involved in the writing process. So whether you're learning to write an essay, whether you're learning to write a paragraph, it doesn't matter. It's all here at heretohelplearning.com. Need help with writing? Check out heretohelplearning.com. So let's look at another strategy of what to do when your child is stuck on a math skill. This one, some people have thought about and thought, wow, does this really work? And that is this: move on. Come back to it in a day or two. Why would you do that? Well, because sometimes young people need to let it sink in a little bit before it makes sense, before it clicks, before they actually connect the dots to the concept that you're working with them on. You know, I look at the students that take my pre-algebra and my Algebra 1 course. And in my pre-algebra course to my Algebra 1 course, we do a lot of the same things over again. In pre-algebra, my expectation is this, is that they're being introduced to the material. They're getting through it. Sometimes they struggle with it. Sometimes they get it right away. And it depends. What I find is that one student in one section totally gets it, where another one struggles. Later on in the course, the one that's struggling totally gets it, and the one that totally got it struggling, it's always going to be a little bit of that game in there. Not everything makes sense to everybody all at the same time. But when it clicks, it clicks. And what I find, especially moving from pre-algebra to Algebra 1, that's that grade 6 and 7 to grade 7 and 8, sometimes to our 9th and 10th graders as they're moving into those high school style courses, is that by seeing it more than once, that they'll start to get it over time. Now, you'll know a lot of people use review in their programs, and they think that review is important. And I agree 100%. Review is important. The amazing thing about math is that math has review built into it all the way through the course. My older son, who's working in a pre-algebra course this year, we were getting him ready for pre-algebra the year before. I'm working with fractions and started introducing solving equations, and fractions just weren't clicking. Solving equations, he was one of my, I don't want to show my work, Dad, kind of kids. I can do it in my head. Okay, well, let's go through the process. Writing the steps down was so difficult for him. So we would get him to the things that he could do to then get up to the part where he was struggling. And what we knew was this, is that over time, things were going to work for him. But letting him do those things that he could do, letting him struggle, letting him go through the effort of that, taking a little bit of time off, coming back to it again. And then what we found as he moved into the pre-algebra course, when he was in the full course for the first time, he's doing beautifully. He gets everything. He shows all his work. He's getting every step, step by step. Going through a little bit of a struggle actually paid off when he got to working with something more difficult. The fractions are working great. Solving equations are working great. He's having a great year and he's loving math. You know, you think about a lot of times, it's like, well, do we have to practice for 60 minutes? And the answer to that is yes. But now, how do you practice for 60 minutes is what's different. Sometimes people say you got to practice 60 straight minutes on one skill until they get that skill. Well, how about if we do this? What if you did 10 minutes a day for 5 days. Maybe you did 15 minutes a day for 4 days. Do a little, take a break. Do a little, take a break. Do a little, take a break. Come back to it. Have them go back. Find the parts that are successful. Have them reteach that to you so that they can start to find the parts that are not being successful with. They can put the concepts together and go. So a couple of things that you can do. One is what? Well, one is have them teach you the things they do know to help them get to the things they don't know. Look for the pieces of what the skill is that maybe there's something from before that didn't quite make sense. And you'll find out what that is. They'll be able to put it all together. The other thing is let them have a little bit of time in between. Let the idea soak in for maybe for an hour, maybe for 2 hours, maybe for a day, whatever it is. We found over the summer, next thing we knew, we took something that was difficult at the end of 1 year and the beginning of the next year, it worked out perfectly. And if you're really stuck on a topic, I'm going to give you the third thing you can do. And this one, you're going to love. What do you do when you're so stuck and you've tried all the things that I just said? You said, Mr. G, we've tried that already. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Send me an email. I'd be happy to correspond with you. And we'll work out and see if we can come up with an idea that works for your young person. Remember, I've worked with thousands of young people over my almost 30 years in education, so I know that we can come up with something that'll work for you. How do you reach me? Just send me an email, dennis@mrdmath.com. It's dennis@mrdmath.com. Let me know what's going on, and we'll come up with something that'll work for your young person. Any age, doesn't matter where they are, we'll find something that works for you as well. All right, well, this is Mr. D. Thanks for listening again to the Mr. D Math and More podcast series. Hope to have you again back here next week. Have a great week, everyone. This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.